all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a Chief Warrant Officer helicopter pilot in Vietnam, 1969, in the United States Army. Well, happy birthday, America. 244 years, and you're still here. It's a good job. You're going right out there. Most of us had a little virtual 4th of July celebrations yesterday. It's really tough kind of watching fireworks on a 23-inch screen. I'm sure that many of you are out there watching on bigger screens, and maybe some of you actually got to watch fireworks in general. So it's always great to celebrate the birthday of America. It's a work in progress, and we really all have to work really hard to maintain what we've got so it doesn't go away. I want to welcome you to our program today. It's really kind of a special one, and I've got the joke out of the way right away, and that is that the program today is going to the dogs. Yeah, that's it. So we're talking dogs today. We're going to be talking with two organizations about their services that are available to provide service dogs to veterans and also to civilians for various reasons. And I'm really excited to have them both on the program today. It's going to be kind of fun. One is called Vet Dogs, or America's Vet Dogs, and the other one is the Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs. But before we get into that, I need to really thank our sponsors. Our sponsors have been great helping out Veterans Radio over the last 17 years. And I want to remind people that Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio America. That's right, folks. Veterans Radio America is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. And anyone who would like to support Veterans Radio America, your donations and sponsorships are all tax deductible. At least that's according to my CPA. All right. We want to make sure that we thank our sponsors. As I mentioned, number one, of course, is Legal Help for Veterans. And Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans' disability claims. For more information, you can go to their website. That's legalhelpforveterans.com. Or give them a call at 800-693-4800. U.S. Wings is the manufacturers of the finest leather flight jackets in the world. U.S. Wings is a major supplier of flight jackets to the military. They are also supplying and selling face masks during the pandemic. They've kind of had to change their business plan a little bit as well. So appreciative if you could go to their website, that's uswings.com, and you can give them a call at 800-650-0659. We also want to make sure that we thank, we've got some new sponsors. And I guess I better talk about both of them, first of all. Number one is we want to thank the support of the National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as the NVBDC. The NVBDC's main purpose is to certify that a veteran-owned business is just that. It's veteran-owned. And this can be very important for veteran-owned companies that want to do business with the government and veteran-friendly corporations. So for more information, you want to find out more about the NVBDC, you can go to their website. That's nvbdc.org. And finally, the next organization, this is a brand new one, and this is really exciting for us. And this is a local organization. It's the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor. And the Eisenhower Center has it's a residential facility for people who have suffered from traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress, depressive, and so on and so forth. It's really got a great program. But they're really asking us to help promote their After the Impact program, which provides rehabilitation for veterans, first responders, and professional athletes through a special intensive 30 to 90 day evidence-based treatment program. And participants are recovering from concussion, TBIs, post-traumatic stress, anxiety, depression, and suspected CTEs. And they're immersed in an intensive transitional treatment program to treat multiple deficit areas. They've got two locations, one here in Michigan and one in Florida. And for more information, you can go to theeisenhowercenter.com/impact program, and you'll find out all about it. This is a great program for those of you that know people, or maybe you have had a TBI or are suffering from post-traumatic stress. So we encourage you to contact the Eisenhower Center and see if they can help you out. And of course, we want to thank our local veteran service organizations for their continued support. That includes the American Legion Post number 46, whose new slogan right now, I just learned the other day, is the American Legion is looking for a few good veterans. So they're out there trying to recruit. So contact your local American Legion, especially here in the Ann Arbor, Michigan area. That would be Post 46. VFW Post 423, Veterans Helping Veterans, of course. And the Charles S. Kettles VVA Post 310, all of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we want to encourage you to contact them if you're interested in getting involved in veteran services. It's a good place, too, to hang out and talk with other veterans, because sometimes other people don't quite understand your stories when you tell them that, right? So we encourage you to join a veteran service group. I think it'd be very helpful to you. Okay, let's get right into the story right now. And joining me on the line right now is Joe Worley. And Joe Worley is a Coast Guard veteran, and he is with America's Vet Dogs. So, Joe, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. I was a Navy veteran. I was a corpsman with 2-1 Marines.
I'm sorry, somebody gave me some wrong information.
No, that's fine. In retrospect, that might have been a good idea.
probably. I have to say, my dad was in the Coast Guard, and during World War II, he came under the control of the Navy. So, you know, guys are pretty close to the same thing as far as I'm concerned. So Joe, how are you involved with the American Vet Dogs?
I was with 2-1 Marines, went over to Fallujah, Iraq in 2004. Ended up getting hit with an IED. I have a above-knee amputation on the left side, and my right leg's been reconstructed. My ankle's fused. And so I'm about 6'3", about 220. My wife is about 120 pounds. And so her helping me up out of the floor was something that I just felt awful asking her to do. So I just stopped trying. I stopped pushing. And I've always been very physical. Mm-hmm. I realized pretty quick I needed help, and I got in contact with America's Vet Dogs when I saw one of their working dogs go from being just a regular dog, and it was the facility dog at Walter Reed Medical Center, and the gentleman that was in control of the dog was an occupational therapist named Harvey. He said, "Deuce, come. Brother, that dog's entire demeanor changed. It was like watching an episode of Lassie. It was so impressive." And so I immediately put application in.
All these service dogs that I've seen, and I've seen varieties that range from very small to very large. How you mentioned that your dog is able to help you get up and move around more?
Yeah. So I got my first dog, Benjamin, who unfortunately passed away last year, but I got him in 2008, and he's a golden retriever, beautiful guy. And, he was trained for walking immobility, bracing, which basically like allows me to get in and out of the floor holding on to him, mm-hmm. retrieval. So, you know, if I've rolled over 2 cell phones. I don't recommend doing that. They don't like it. but it's a lot easier to have the dog pick it up than it bounces like a football, you know, so you never really know where it's going to go when it hits the ground. And you think it goes straight back, you just roll over and hear a crunch, and you go, man, that sounds expensive.
I would think so. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so it's a lifesaver having those guys around, but the walking mobility, and then also a big part of it is them being ambassadors between us and people who don't have the same experiences as us. I mean, I may not have grown up as the same way as Jimmy down on Smith Street, but you know, dogs are something that bring people together. It's a unifying factor, and it's something I think that we all need right now.
Right, and we're going to be talking, you know, about service dogs, the whole program today. And I should remind our audience, if you have any questions or comments about service dogs, maybe you have one or maybe you want to get one, please give us a call today. The local number is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. We're talking to Joe Worley, a Navy medic, who got himself blown up, unfortunately, and has his own service dog. And I was supposed to ask you a couple of questions about America's Vet Dogs and how they're doing some fundraising right now with a company called Bill Jack. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah,
the Vet Dog
course.
Treats?
Yeah, I love Bill Jack. It's funny because I knew the people before I knew the product. So I got to know them probably back in 2011, And when I showed up to help promote a new treat they were coming up with, which was the vet dog treat, I didn't know them that well, and they treated me like family. And we have actually gotten really close. They're fantastic people. But on top of that, using that treat that's got my ugly face on it and Benji's beautiful furry self on it.
Oh, that's you. Okay.
$1 million.
How much?
$1 million selling those treats.
Oh, that's great.
It's insane. It's wonderful. And they've got that. They've got another treat coming out too, but that's the one they've been using to help raise money for America's Vet Dogs. America's Vet Dogs doesn't charge the veterans anything. They never asked me for a dime. They flew me up. There's a 2-week training course up there. They feed you lodging, and the food is fantastic, I might add. Way better than most of the military food that I've eaten. Definitely better than MRE. And you know, they take such good care of you, and the donations are how they run. They run off donations and people who are willing to buy products that use our licensing. And so the America's Vet Dog Treats is one of those.
Well, where can we find these vet dog treats?
You know, I can't think of a place they're not, except for like Target. I know I've seen them at Walmart. I've seen them at PetSmart. It's funny because my kids will point them out when I'm at the checkout, just to embarrass me, because, you know, I'm not going to be like, "Hey, that's me. Check that out."
Okay, I am looking at this right now. So I would encourage people to go to the vet dogs treats. Yeah. vetsdogstreats.com, and there's a nice picture there of our guest, of Joe and his dog, and it says, yeah, soft and moist dog treats.
Yeah, they're for dogs, though. I've tried them. They're not as good for humans.
They probably taste better than the MREs, and I'm sure they taste a heck of a lot better than sea rations every day.
Might.
but probably not really good for us.
No.
I think that's great. What do I do if I were to need a dog? You mentioned Bill Jack. I'm going through the questions that were sent to me by Sarah, who does your PR work for you folks, and she wanted me to talk about how do you get a dog? How would I get a dog? What's the process if I contact America's Vet Dogs?
So the
requirements that briefly for us.
Easy. Yeah, of course. Yeah, the requirements are pretty easy. If you've ever served, you're eligible. If you've served and you have a need, you can go to vetdogs.org and apply. If it's something that you think that we can help you with, you can back out of it at any time. Obviously, there's no charge. It's all donation driven, and people like Bill Jack, you know, that are helping pay for it. So, you know, if you're interested, you can go to vetdogs.org. You can also donate there if you, you know, if it's not something you want to support. There's also volunteer opportunities, and we're actually having a Giving Bark Thursday on July 9th. It's just an online Giving Bark Thursday. Isn't that great?
Yeah. And where is that going to be held?
It's actually online. It's online. So, you know, they're based out of Long Island. So, you know, they're taking all of this very seriously. We've everything that we're doing right now has gone virtual.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I think that's great. You know, we've been talking here with Joe Worley. You work with America's Vet Dogs, I'm guessing. Are you just do you work with them?
So when I got my first dog, Benjamin, it probably didn't take me 2 months before I realized I had to get involved. I can't just take something that made that much of a difference in my life and not get involved. So I started volunteering in 2008 and actually started working for them in 2015. So yeah, I fell in love with it because here I am, you know, 12 years later and still pumping it out.
I think it's terrific, and especially since you have, you know, your own dog that you got from America's Vet Dogs, and how meaningful that these dogs are to you and to all the veterans and all the people out there that have service dogs, how important these things are. Where is Vet Dogs located?
They're in Smithtown, Long Island. It's a national organization, though. For instance, I live down in Georgia.
Okay.
So they're all, we've got we've got people in every state, either workers or dog teams. Mm-hmm. Except for maybe Alaska. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. That's a good question. I'm going to find out about Alaska.
There you go. That's for your next interview, right?
That's my next interview.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio today, and I wish you the best of luck with your new dog, and I wish you wish American Vet Dogs the best of luck with their products and their fundraising, and I think it's just a great organization, and it just looks like it's really a meaningful thing that you and Vet Dogs are doing. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Hey, thank you for continuing to support veterans, brother. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
That's what we all do. That's what we all need to do. So thanks very much, Joe.
Take care.
All right. Thank you. And that was Joe Worley. He works with America's Vet Dogs. He also has his own dog. And one of their fundraisers is dogs. They're called Vet Dogs Treats. And if you go to Vet Dogs Treats, too many S's, vetdogstreats.com, there's a list of where you can buy these treats for your dogs, and it also helps raise funding for American Vet Dogs. So check it out. I think you'll find it very interesting. We're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, we've got a little bit local story about dogs, service dogs, and a training of service dogs, and so we're going to be talking with the Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs. And they've got another great story that I think that you're going to enjoy. So we're going to take a real quick break right now. You're listening to Veterans Radio, and we will be right back.
This is Thomas Redd.
The Rascal Flatts.
Hey, this is Jake Owen.
This is Florida Georgia Line.
Hey, this is Charlie Daniels.
Fisher House gives wounded warriors, veterans, and military families a no-cost place to stay during a medical crisis. The homes are built right on the grounds of major VA and military medical centers. The design helps people get together and make friends and support one another. You can help. Find out how at fisherhouse.org.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans' Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio, and that song is played for a special guest that's coming up here in just a moment. As you were listening to Veterans Radio, hopefully from the top of the hour, we're talking about dogs today, and we've already had one organization, and now we've got another one. This one is called Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs, and joining me on the line right now is Mary Lamparter, and Mary is a representative in Michigan for the Guardian Angels Medical Service Dog. So, Mary, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to share information with you.
Well, this is really fun. It's really fun talking to you and also talking with Joe and his organization. And also on the line is a good friend of Veterans Radio, the executive director of Fisher House, Michigan, who has just recently received her service dog, and that is Kate Melcher. And, Kate, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Dale. It's always great to chat with you.
It is always good to talk to you, and I thought that you would like your song.
I did. I definitely appreciated that.
Most people don't understand. Kate was an Apache helicopter pilot, and that was, I guess, one of your theme songs that you men and
it
women
was.
Used
that
to
was
play.
That was Thunderstruck by AC/DC, and nothing gets you pumped up quite like AC/DC when you go out to fly.
That's true. Well, we had other songs. That's another conversation. All right. So, Mary, tell me about Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs. How did this organization get started?
Well, it actually got started 10 years ago by a woman by the name of Carol Borden, who had been in raising and training dogs for most of her life. And she had been asked by an individual if she could help train her dog specifically, or that person's dog, and Carol said, of course, and one thing led to another, and here it is 10 years later, And Carol has now founded Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs out of Williston, Florida. And they have paired now 350 dogs, all over the country in that 10 years' time. Carol's a renowned trainer and has become quite the expert with service dogs, has testified in front of Congress, spoken to many, many organizations around the country on what a service dog is and how to protect service dogs and the benefit, how dogs actually change and save lives of many of our veterans and first responders. So that's the background of Guardian Angels.
Right. I was going to say that you're not just limited to veterans as far as your service dogs are concerned, are you?
No, we are not, but about 90% of our recipients are veterans, and the other 10% is first responders. It's been a little more interesting to try and educate the first responder community about the value of service dogs. As you're probably aware, it's really just been in the last few years that military even is recognizing and values what a service dog can do for our service members with, PTSD, mobility issues, things like that. So we're still in the process of really starting to educate our first responders. So about 90% still is what we do with our veteran community.
Well, I think it's really fascinating when you think about what these service dogs can do. I mean, in reading some of the information on your website, which is, where did it go? That was medicalservicedogs.org, that there are so many different types of service dogs. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, and I'm going to talk with Kate later about what her service dog does for her, but in addition, as you mentioned, the mobility and the gentleman on earlier said that his dog actually helps him get up.
Yes. Our dogs are trained. We do not get into the sight or visual impairment. Those dogs, as you know, here in Michigan, we have our service dog organization just for the blind. We do not get into that, but our dogs are trained for alert to seizures, to diabetic alerts. They can, if it's a mobility-trained dog, they can open doors, refrigerator doors. They can pick up items that are dropped on the floor. They do help with balance issues. Someone that has difficulty standing up on their own, the dog learns to brace, and that person is able to put their hands on the dog's back and enables them to help stand up. And then, of course, in the emergency, a real emergency, if someone has a lifeline alert system, that dog is actually trained to hit a button to call for help in the event that their veteran were to fall and be disabled or have a seizure. So on top of that, then, of course, they do all of the things that we hear more about with the post-traumatic stress. They do things called shielding to protect that individual from larger crowds, that gives that individual security, feeling of safety. They do all kinds of anxiety, panic attacks, and awake people from nightmares. So there are many, many things that our dogs do, and it's all many of those things, the PTSD, particularly seizure alerts, it's all around the sense of smell that a dog has because of the chemical changes in a person's body. And a dog knows long before someone's going to have a seizure or their panic level anxiety is rising, and that's all done from their olfactory senses, which are over 1,000 times more sensitive than a human's. So those are many, many things that these wonderful dogs do.
I think it's amazing. I've witnessed, I guess you could say, I've had a number of veteran students in my real job, I guess you could say, that have brought their service dogs into class with them, and it's very interesting to watch how the dog reacts not only to their handler, I guess you could say, but the other kids in the class. And I think I had one that was had epilepsy, and the dog would alert, as you point out, when the dog, you know, was sensed that an attack might be coming on. And I just found that just amazing that they can do that. Let me digress a little bit. Where do you find your dogs?
Well, the majority of our dogs are actually bred on the at headquarters. I call it the farm, which is located in Williston, Florida. And the majority of the dogs are actually bred. They're all shepherds, German, Austrian lineage, and the majority are the dogs that are known to be the greatest dogs are mated and paired, you know, with another one of our great dogs. So we have, you know, 10, 12 puppies in a litter at a time. So there can be almost 300 dogs, or 100 dogs, sorry, at any given time on the farm, from the puppy stages to a dog that the biggest part of 2 years later is ready for pairing. So the majority, there is some rescue, but they're very careful with rescue dogs. They are kept in separate quarters for a period of time. They're observed to make sure that they're going to be the right kind of characteristics that Guardian Angels has the high standards for. So really the majority is all of our own dogs that Carol has been able to work out for a long time. You know, with raising dogs and pairing them on the farm.
So when does the training start? Almost immediately then?
Well, when a puppy is about 3 weeks old, they certainly start doing a lot of things to get them used to humans. They're handled in a certain way. The dogs become very accustomed to people right off the bat. So there's a lot of training processes that actually starts at about 3 weeks old. They start handling the dogs, and the main thing is getting them used to humans. So I had the opportunity to visit the farm a couple of years ago, and it was amazing with all these dogs that are out in these wonderful open areas that they don't bark. They don't bark at you when you come up, and it's because they have become so accustomed to people from a very, very young age. And that's part of their training. At about 3 weeks old, they will start their processes.
I think this is just a great story. I love this whole idea. So, Mary, how did you get involved with the Guardian Angels?
Well, it was sort of by accident. I've luckily in my volunteerism over the years, I've gotten involved now in a number of defense industry organizations, veteran organizations, and I met a woman who was married to a general that was at the Detroit Arsenal. She and I became friends, and she had gotten involved with Guardian Angels here in Michigan, and she had asked me to help out. She happened to live in Rochester, Michigan. I was more on the east side, and a group, Grosse Pointe Board of Realtors, wanted to get involved, and because I live in Grosse Pointe, she asked if I would start helping and learning from her, listening to her talk about Guardian Angels. That went on for several years, and then as unfortunately the military does, her husband was transferred out of Michigan, so she had to leave, and I was very lucky that I had gotten to know a little bit about Guardian Angels, and they asked me if I could step in and take her place. So I have the privilege of being able to talk to any group that would like more information. I started actually as a fundraiser for Guardian Angels about, it'd be almost 6 years ago, if I could hold my event this year, which it's with the COVID, it doesn't look like I'm going to, but we've been able to, my husband and I have been able to hold an event 5 years in a row, and we've raised I think the first year maybe $40,000, and a couple of years we were about $150,000 to $160,000 we were able to raise with the support of many of our defense industries locally here. Sometimes they will even step up, and organizations have paired at $25,000. They have sponsored an entire dog. So I've been very lucky that I've been able to help raise money, because all of our dogs are donated. They cost about $25,000 for close to a two-year period of training, and we do not charge our veteran. The training is all handled, and then when that person will be sent originally down to the farm to meet their dog when all the qualifications have been met and there's a dog that's been targeted for that individual, they go to the farm, they spend about 10 days, and all of those expenses also are taken care of. We do not charge anything for the pairing, training, transportation back and forth of that recipient and their dog. So that's really how I got involved. I started sort of as a fundraiser, and now I am lucky to be able to represent Guardian Angels here in Michigan.
I think that's a great story. I think it's a great story. I had a question. I had somebody just sent me an email wanting to know, this is kind of sad, but it says, what happens when the veteran dies? What happens to the dog when the veteran dies?
Well, I think there's a couple of options. Number one, the dog basically always really belongs to Guardian Angels. They track the progress of the recipient. They make sure there's no issues. And in instances where that individual may pass away, I think, and I don't know 100%, but I think that possibly they're given the opportunity to keep the dog, or the dog can be taken back to the farm. I would imagine it might also depend on the age of the dog. If it's still a young dog and has some service years left, it may go back to Guardian Angels for retraining and hopefully for pairing again with another deserving veteran.
How long do the dogs normally serve?
Well, you know, as you may know, the bigger the dog, the shorter their lifespan is. So a shepherd of this size, generally, I would think, is going to have a very useful life, 10, 12 years maybe. And again, I don't particularly get involved in all those decisions that's made from the farm, but everyone, each veteran is always tracked. The Guardian Angel stays in touch with every recipient. And if there's any kind of issues, then they step in to either help repair that veteran, or if the dog needs to come back. And I think probably individual instances where, in the case of a death, the dog may be able to stay with that family, or maybe it will go back to Guardian Angels. That's one of those, I don't really get involved in that part of it, but that's pretty much my understanding of how it works.
Okay, we'll check into that to make sure.
Yes.
I don't want people to get upset by that. Okay, we're talking here with Mary Lampard with Guardian Angels Medical Service Dog. She's here in Michigan. And I want to take a break real quick, so I'm going to, and then when I come back on, we're going to be talking with Kate Melcher, who recently was paired up with her service dog, and I can't wait to hear that story. So, everybody, stay tuned. If you have a question, like I just answered before, you can give us a call at 734-822-1600, or you can send me an email to dale@veteransradio.net, and we will answer your question on the air. In the meantime, we are going to, as I say, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back talking more about the Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Specialist Roz McGinnis threw his back against a grenade thrown into his Humvee, saving the lives of his crewmates. Details after this. On December 4, 2006, McGinnis was manning the turret in the last Humvee of a six-vehicle patrol in northeast Baghdad when an insurgent threw a grenade from the roof of a nearby building. As he stood up to get ready to jump out of the vehicle, as he'd been trained to do, officials say McGinnis realized the other four soldiers in the vehicle did not know where the grenade had landed and did not have enough time to escape. He threw his back against the radio mount and smothered the explosive with his body. McGinnis was killed instantly, while the other four men survived. He was awarded the Medal of Honor posthumously by President Bush on June 2, 2008. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Hey, this is Jennifer Nettles. Thousands of veterans are homeless and living on the streets of our nation tonight. Streets where they're being beaten, robbed, even killed. Let's take care of our own. Please join me in housing 1,000 veterans as fast as possible. Text VETS to 41444 and pledge any amount. They fought for us and now we fight for them. Veterans matter.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
And we want to thank John Philip Sousa for that incredible Stars and Stripes there on the birthday of America, 244 years old. Not looking too bad, but we got to do some work. I think maybe we need to start working out. I'm not sure. All right, so we're back here and we're talking about dogs today, as I mentioned earlier on. And we've been talking with Mary Lamparter here from the Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs. And I want to bring on a good friend of Veterans Radio, who is also the executive director of the Fisher House, Michigan. We just finished constructing ours here in Ann Arbor, and we're working on one for Detroit. And this is Kate Melcher. And Kate, welcome back.
Thanks, Dale. Great to be here.
Okay, so tell me about your dog. What kind of dog do you have?
I have a guardian angel. So she is a 3.5-year-old German Shepherd. She's all black and she's absolutely gorgeous. That's the first thing that anybody says. They greet her and say how beautiful she is, and it actually gives me a little bit of a break so I don't have to have that immediate social interaction.
There you go. Yeah. Right. And what is the name of this young lady?
Her big girl name is Catherine. But so is mine, and I thought I might sound like a lunatic calling my own name after a dog in public, so I was allowed to give her a nickname. So she is the dog named Cat. I call her Cat or Kit Kat or Scooter or any number of nicknames, and she comes to all of them because we've got such a great bond.
I think that's great. So when did you get your dog, Kate?
At the end of March, right sort of when the COVID outbreak was happening. Mary was describing how recipients typically go to the farm in Florida for the pairing procedure, but mine was a bit different because travel was so restricted. There was actually a trainer from Guardian Angels who brought three dogs up to Michigan, and two other veterans and I went to Battle Creek, and we spent several days, you know, getting the fire hose version of all of the instruction that we needed to be able to operate our dogs and you know, start the bonding process, which is the most important thing. So just the end of March and already we're inseparable.
So that was going to be my next question. Do you pick the dog or does the dog pick you?
No. Well, the Carol and her trainers, you know, as Mary mentioned, they start watching these dogs at 3 weeks and they all have different gifts and graces. And part of the application process is you share your medical profile and what types of things you would expect a dog to help with. And they've been doing this for 10 years. They know the dogs, they know the personalities, they know the specific skill sets that individual dogs have, and they make a good match in terms of personality and in terms of ability to help the veteran that they're going to serve.
Did you approach them looking for a dog, or did somebody approach you?
I did not. Interestingly enough, there has been such wonderful support of guardian angels that my friend Mary Lamparter, who you'd been hearing about, asked, you know, gosh, how do we reach more veterans? We've got all these wonderful dogs. We want to help more veterans in the state of Michigan. You know, can you help me meet some more of these people and make some good connections? And, you know, we had those conversations, and she's made presentations up in Lansing and all over the Detroit area, and down at local 900 in Wayne, all over the place, just raising awareness about this amazing program. And it was actually in a meeting with Mary and with the Guardian Angel CEO, Carol Borden, and they just kind of said, well, why haven't you applied? And I was not comfortable with that at all. I, you know, was happy to help other vets. I mean, that's how we're trained, right? You know, you watch for your buddy more than you watch for yourself. So, right. And if you hear that little thumper, that's the cat scratching her belly. Hopefully that didn't come through on the radio.
It did.
So, and it took a while for me to get from, no, this is not for me, there are too many other deserving veterans, to, well, you know, maybe I'll consider it. And then the application process is thorough, and it takes some time. And it was, you know, through the application process that I started to feel more comfortable with the whole idea.
And how long did it take before you got CAT?
It was several months, and I just want to make sure your listeners understand that the process is different for each veteran. There's, you know, not a standard timeline. You know, there are different gates that you need to pass through in the application process and information that you need to provide, because, you know, Guardian Angels is making a huge investment in you, and they need to make certain that the dog is going to have a safe home and a stable environment in which to live, and that you're going to be a strong working pair. So, you know, it takes some effort from the veteran as well as from Guardian Angels and the dogs, but it's important that everybody understands, you know, what the investment is, and what life-changing effects the dog can actually have once you're paired and working together.
Right. Well, you don't have to give me all the details, but why did you think that you needed a dog?
So, ordinarily, when I didn't know how to answer a question like this, I could pull a little card out of my pocket that Guardian Angels gave me about the questions that I have to answer according to the ADA. but I will tell you generally that I do have some service-connected challenges. I am a 100% disabled veteran, and most of us who are don't necessarily wear that on our sleeves, and we don't necessarily talk about what comprises that 100%.
Well, I know that you injured your back in training.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't realize how serious it was. So, So how does Kate help you out every day?
Kat helps me pay more attention to myself. You know, like I said before, we're always concerned about, you know, how your battle buddy's doing, mm-hmm. rather than yourself. You know, I have a very public job, and my job is all about helping other people. And when I'm doing really great at that job, I'm probably not doing really great at taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. And Kat helps me do that. She actually lets me know if I'm going to have an issue before I know it. The way she interacts with other people helps me understand how I'm feeling. Because this sounds a little bit strange, but I usually don't think about that. I'm always thinking about everything else going on in the room, and I don't necessarily think about, you know, how I'm doing, how it's affecting my nervous system, how present I can be in the room. Mm-hmm. So she's alerting me to that early on, which preserves my energy, allows me to stay with other people longer, and it gives me a better quality of life when I'm away from work. I actually have a life away from work now, and I didn't before Kat.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I know what your schedule is like. Obviously, you take her with you everywhere you go now.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's interesting.
Right.
People, she wears a vest, and it says service dog, do not pet. It says guardian angels. And most people recognize her as a service dog, and she is so professional, just the most strack dog you will ever see. So there's not even a question about, is she a real service dog? It's no, that none of that is even a question. But occasionally I do get, well, you know, there's allergies and she can't be here and she can't be there. And she's a medical device for me. She is a medical device with a heartbeat. And without her, I don't go into that restaurant if it's an issue. So I think the biggest challenge for me is that everybody falls in love with her the second that they see her. And everybody wants to touch her and interact with her and play with her. And, you know, I've learned that, you know, the rule is that no one is supposed to touch her. But Kat has taught me that I shouldn't be the one saying whether people can touch her or not, because she's more attuned to what I need than I am. So mm-hmm. if someone asks if they could greet her or pet her, I will tell them it's up to her. And there are some times that she'll lean in and, you know, she'll take a head scratch, and there's other times where she will turn her head and she will come back and she'll shield and, you know, be right at my heel. So I follow her lead when it comes to interacting with people.
I think that's amazing. When you said that, I was thinking, does she snub people that maybe she doesn't?
she does. And you know what? I have a hard time breaking social interaction. I have a hard time not being polite. You know, I was raised to have good manners. And Kat doesn't care so much about manners. She cares about taking care of us as a partnership. Mm-hmm. And so if something doesn't feel right, she has no problem turning her head and saying, nope, not today.
That's really interesting. I was thinking about that because a long time ago on our program, we did a story about a guy who had he wrote a book called Until Tuesday, and how this dog, you know, saved his life. He had been injured. He was depressed. He was all these different types of things. And he said, suddenly this dog, you know, came into his life and just changed it so dramatically. And that when he would go out in public, of course, there were places that didn't want him to bring the dog in. And it's mm-hmm. just kind of like you said, well, if the dog can't come in, I'm not coming in either. And then he said that when he sits down in restaurants, that the dog, you know, kind of disappears. It'll wrap himself around his legs or his feet, you know, and just kind of look out and make sure everything's all right and then pretend to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's but if
exactly
something
right.
moves,
She's,
the dog is
you know,
right
when
there.
When you think of German Shepherds, you think of real big dogs, and some of the guardian angels are. Kat is on the smaller side. She's just over 60 pounds, and it's great for me because, you know, I've got a small car. I'm traveling every single day. She fits under a booth in a restaurant. I absolutely believe that she could fit under a seat in an airplane. Haven't tried that since COVID, but that's going to happen soon. And it's so great. You know, she's one of the other things is that she has never had human food in her life. So she doesn't beg in a restaurant because that's not food for her. Mm-hmm. So she stays on duty. She just curls up on my feet, usually goes to sleep when we're sitting in a restaurant booth. You know, and then I handle her needs outside of when she's working for me.
Oh, there you go. So does she... Can she tell when you're stressed?
Oh, yes, she can. And early on, I didn't really know what alerting was going to look like. She feels everything I'm feeling. And, you know, she would have an upset stomach and, you know, bloodshot eyes. And I'm going, what's going on? Did I break my dog? What's happening? But if I would just take a moment and recognize what was happening with me, she mm-hmm. was trying to respond to that and trying to sort of, you know, get me out of that stress cycle. And because I'm a natural caregiver and I'm not great at caring for myself, even just taking a minute to care for her, to try to calm her down and, you know, go for a walk or whatever it is to get her out of an anxiety cycle, it actually has the added bonus of getting me out of that same cycle. So attending to her needs is grounding for me.
I think it sounds great, Kate. I got Kate and cats and everything else now. I got to remember who I'm talking to.
Well, I found, Dale, that, you know, we go to the Fisher House quite a bit, and when we go to the Fisher House, everyone greets her first. It's, oh, hi, Kat, how are you? Oh, hi, Kate.
Yes, oh, I see.
More excited about seeing her.
I brought your human with you.
Right.
Your service human.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I think it's terrific. So what would you recommend to people who are thinking about a service dog?
Start the process. Like I mentioned before, there are several different steps in the process to being paired. And, you know, like your first guest mentioned, that you can opt out at any time. The very first step is so simple. You log on to medicalservicedogs.org and click on apply. And then it's just a real quick, you know, what's your name? How do we contact you? And then there's one question that you have to think about a little bit. And the one question says, what would you expect a service dog to do for you? And I don't think there's a wrong answer, but it just, it lets guardian angels know what your expectations are at the outset. It's just a real quick web form, and that goes to the guardian angels team, and they start the process of contacting you and going through the next steps. But you learn more about it. You learn how the dogs are to work, what your end of the partnership obligation requires. Mm-hmm. The process is as educational as it is selective. So if there's a veteran out there just thinking about it and they're not sure how it might work in their life and they don't really know, but it sounds like it might be a good idea, go fill out that web form. Just start that first step. Start the conversations with the Guardian Angel staff and see whether it's a good fit.
How does she react to, have you been in places where there are other service dogs yet?
I'm trying to think. Not other service dogs. She's been around other dogs, other pets. And that's actually been a point that's been a challenge with family and friends, is that she's not a pet. And
right. That's the point I was getting to, is that, you know, she doesn't frolic.
Oh, no. when she is on duty, you know, other dogs, you know, she's been lunged at, she's been barked at, she has been greeted pleasantly and everything in between, and she's, for the most part, you know, just sort of held her own. In fact, the first time I heard Kat bark was in her sleep.
Oh.
She was dreaming, and she, what was that noise? I hadn't ever heard her bark otherwise. She's just an incredible. And, you know, for the most part, she doesn't interact with other dogs at all when she's on duty. When she is not, when we are home in our own sanctuary and it's time to play, because, you know, all work and no play makes Kat a really dull girl. So she definitely needs to play ball and get some energy out. And, oh, yes, she frolics. She is a nut when it comes to playing ball. Vest off, let's play ball, let's play stick. And she's a riot. She's really fun to play with.
So it sounds like this has been a great match for you and her.
It has. It has. She's incredibly sweet. And, you know, talking with one of the staff at Guardian Angels, you know, like, she's supposed to have favorites, but she let it fly that Kat was favorites, and she wanted to know how we were doing and was so excited that Kat was paired with somebody who loves her as much as she did. So, yeah, you need a partner that looks at you the way Kat looks at me. That's, mm-hmm. That should happen for everybody.
So you would recommend this?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm wondering when you're going to get yours, Dale.
yeah. Not since I had my Dalmatian. I don't know about dogs. We'll have to see. We'll have to see about that at some point down the road.
Well, when, you know, public health concerns aren't an issue, you'll have to meet Kat. We'll have to
I'm
get a cup of coffee
to...
and you'll get to meet her.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to give us I'm going to give you a chance to give us a little quick update on Fisher House.
Okay, so the first veteran guests stayed in the Ann Arbor Fisher House June 1st, and that Fisher House has served over 100 individuals since then in its very first month.
That's
so
great.
It's been absolutely incredible. The staff is very, very busy, and at Fisher House, Michigan, we've been busy keeping the refrigerator stocked and making sure they have, you know, all the cleaning things that, they need and all of the things that we didn't plan for in terms of opening a Fisher House during the era of COVID, but we're there to support all of that. You know, we are still collecting capital donations for Detroit, program donations for both houses. And if you have questions about eligibility or whether you can stay in a Fisher House, you can contact the VA, which I don't have that number off the top of my head, but you can always call us at 518-481-0552, and we will patch you right through to the VA Fisher House staff who can answer eligibility questions for you and make reservations.
Okay. All right. That's great. Mary, is there any last comments you'd like to make? We have about a minute to go.
No, I just hope everyone, all of your listeners, have been inspired by Kate's story. And as she said, these dogs can do amazing things for our veteran community. And I would encourage, as she did, anyone that thinks a dog might be the right kind of thing for them as far as getting their life back on track, I would suggest, as she did, go to medicalservicedogs.org. And click on application, fill out that first form, and see where it goes. We want to help as many people as we can.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for being on Veterans Radio. And, of course, if anybody wants to help out either the Medical Service Dogs or Guardian Angels or American Vet Dogs, they can go to their websites and click on Donate. I'm sure that they could always use the funds, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Dale.
Thanks, Dale.
Happy 4th. Happy 4th to you. We'll be back talking to you soon. All right, so another program is in the can, as they say. We want to thank you all for listening to Veterans Radio. Again, I want to make sure that we thank our sponsors, that'd be Legal Help for Veterans. Where did I go? I lost my load. Anyhow, Legal Help for Veterans, National Business Development Council, and U.S. Wings, and of course, all of our various service agencies. We will be back here next week. And until then, you are dismissed.